live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
With the new year in sight, many of us will be thinking about New Year's resolutions and perhaps taking up a new sport or exercise in January. Physiotherapist Andy Byrne and Monica Sikora from Perfect Balance Clinic in Cambridge join me to discuss common mistakes we make when we start exercising and tips on how to avoid them. I started by asking them about their backgrounds and how they got involved with the Perfect Balance Clinics.
I've always been involved in training, so I've actually been qualified as personal trainer since 2008. And then my background kind of led me into sports, and after qualifying as a physio, mostly worked with kind of muscle skeletal injuries. So people, I've always kind of worked in gyms and people who've been training.
And what about you, Monica?
Well, I was hired to create and develop the training side of Perfect Balance. So before I joined, it was a clinic focusing on physiotherapy and osteopathy. And we realized that it's a huge need for people to go from rehab before they go back to their normal lives onto some kind of middle ground where they can learn how to move and train properly. And that's how I got involved, and I'm still here. See that?
That's really good. And that's what I like about Perfect Balance. It does have a range of specialists, doesn't it, to get you back on your feet, literally, to do exercising.
Always the most important thing for me. It's one of the things that the more exercise people do in general, the less injuries and problems they tend to have. So having someone come in with a certain problem, and when we work towards the end goal of having them just do more exercise in general, tend to come back less often.
That's what we want. That sounds like a perfect solution. So how do we get into these common problems?
The most common thing that leads to problems is people doing too much too soon or too fast. And I mean too fast in the respect of both, you know, going from 0 to 100 in terms of working out, you know, not at all to working out 3-4 times a week, but also the speed they tend to move. So a lot of the time when someone comes to see me, the first thing I'll do is just look at what they're doing in the gym or training or whatever it may be. People tend not to take enough rest in their session. And when they're actually performing their technique, they tend to move too quickly. So I think I'll talk a little bit later when it comes to, or with our tips, but slowing everything down. So, you know, you've got an hour's workout time, how much time you're going to rest in, that's really important. And how fast you're going to be moving during it's really important. And one of the things that tends to cause problems is not total amount of exercise time, but total time on your feet during a day. So everyone gets tired from all the little small things you do during the day. And then when you go to work out, you're adding on top of that.
That sounds really interesting, because that's something I think when you first start exercising, you just want to go for it and you don't want to worry about that. And like resting feels like you're being a bit of a cheat, because you think, oh, well, you know, I don't want to stop now. And often, you know, people say, right, I'm going to take up running and I'm just going to run from my door. I had no idea that all this, you know, obviously added up, and actually you're creating more problems than you're solving, if you like. And in that sense, doing it slower and surer will actually give you better goals in the long run. So Monica, how do you avoid doing so much so soon? As I've just said, it's such a common thing to want to get going.
I think the most important thing is prepare yourself. Really think through what you're going to do. So that comes with goal setting. But I think the most important part for me is knowing where you are today, where you're starting your regime. Because it's all well and good to have a great goal, great plan in place. But if you don't actually know your starting point, it will always be a little bit not specific to what you need to achieve. So, for example, if your goal is to run for an hour, you need to know how long can you run uninterrupted where you are today when you're starting, and then build your plan from there, and then make it so it helps you achieve your specific goal. The goal specificity is really important. I'm going to throw that word. It's really important, because just saying I'm going to go and run or I'm going to go and train will most likely lead you absolutely nowhere. And we've seen that in a clinic over and over again. People are saying, well, I just wanted to be a little bit more fit. And either they go, as Andy said, too much too soon, or they just leave it after a week because there's just no real incentive to what they're doing. So know where you are right now. Measure it. So if you want to increase your leg strength, you need to know how strong your legs are, for example, how many squats you can do today, and then build your goal around it. Well, I can do 10 squats, but I want to do 100 in one go. So that helps you exactly know where you are and then plan how you're going to get to the goal that you have in mind.
And I'm guessing that actually it's quite good to ask advice at the gym or wherever you are, or even look online or consult someone like yourselves for that, because, you know, when we don't know what we don't know, if you like, and it's easy then to make up our own things and say, well, I'm going to do that. And like Andy was saying, you need to say, hang on, whoa there, you know, just try this first. That's not failing by doing something, taking a little bit more time doing it or whatever.
Absolutely. And to be fair with you, my greatest tip, if you don't want to commit to long-term training, is get a trainer or professional to assess and help you build the plan to start with, because that's the most important part. You then have to do it. Even if you have a trainer, you know, every week with you, we won't be doing the work for you. It's your work that counts. But in order to kind of, you know, make it easier almost on you, and also safe, you know, to make sure you don't go end up seeing people like Andy. You need to make sure that what you're doing is correct and how you're moving is correct. So all those things to start with can be quite daunting. And as a result of that, it's definitely a good idea to seek a professional help. Especially
You mean this is the best possible way that, Andy, you'd rather not see people if you can help it, I'm guessing. As a physiotherapist, I'm saying, rather than an unfriendly person. So I believe you've got 5 tips that people can start with straight away.
100%, yes. The very first one, which I think especially very close to my heart, appropriate warm-up. Mm. What I mean by that is make sure what you're warming up is actually relevant to the parts that you're working. So if you are running, make sure that your legs, your core is prepared for the run. Warming up your shoulders can help as well, but if you don't look after the legs, is probably not going to give you the effect that you're after.
And for warming up, for running, that would be something like even just walking, or would you be doing stretches?
Absolutely, active stretches. So not the ones where you hold the position, but you move through the stretch. So it's a gentle stretching. You can do a few very gentle body weight exercises as well, especially when you're working out outside, to make sure the muscles are warm and ready.
It's kind of the stuff you see footballers do at the edge of the pitch before they're doing, you know, walking up and down, doing kind of wiggling themselves. And
you
so what's
right.
What's the second tip?
It kind of leads back to what I was saying at the start, but be engaged in what you're doing. So think about what you're doing and slow everything down. So if you're doing something new for the first time, you know, no matter what skill it is, you're going to want to think your way through it. So if you're maybe doing a new exercise or running, you'll be very aware of how you feel when you do that movement. Take your time, take it nice and slow, and have something that you want to work on. So if it's, example, running, have one or two things in your head. So I'm going to run, I'm going to keep my chest up, I'm going to keep myself nice and tall when I'm running. Or if you're doing some weights, I'm going to have my arms in a certain position, and I'm going to do it at a very, very slow speed. So the whole time you're doing it, you're building that mind-muscle connection, taking your time with it. And then again, that leads on to probably one of our next tips. You start to realize when things aren't as comfortable.
And that would be rest, so adequate rest. We have to realize, and you may know that, you may not know that, but the actual adaptations from the workouts happen during your rest period. This is the magic time where your muscles get an opportunity to rest, rebuild stronger, and all the things you want from your training happen then. So if we kind of ignore it, and especially it's very common for people around this time of the year when we're so, so motivated to go full on every day without a break, from zero to a hero in 3 days. This is where we need to plan and slow down for a second and make sure that we do have an adequate rest in there, and also listen to the body, which ties up with the previous tip. If it needs more rest than we planned for, give it to it.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I've always thought in my mind that if I'm resting, I must be somehow cheating. A rest is a chance just to kind of get your breath back. But obviously, speaking to you now, I realise that the rest is kind of more important than the actual exercise in some ways, because like that's your chance to, like you say, get your muscles to build. I really didn't know that. That's really fascinating.
It's absolutely crucial, and it's one of the things I always say to people. And people come in now with the internet and everything, we have access to so much information on different topics, and people will always look and study at what they're going to do before they start. But a problem with a lot of the plans people find online is that they're not made for people starting off. They've kind of come from research that said this is the best for doing this. And what happens is people end up falling into something that's not quite built for them. As a general rule, when you're starting off, and in fact I do it myself, is I find a plan online, I half the number of reps and I double the rest, and that's for almost everything.
Oh.
So giving yourself more time in the session allows you to control your movement better. So instead of doing, a lot of people find that they'll do 10 repetitions of an exercise and then they'll rest and they'll do that 3 times. I would say do it 5 times and you have 6 reps, that lets you move better and gives you more control and lets you learn the movement better as well, because you're not as tired when you're doing it.
And I think, like you were saying, I think both of you have mentioned building in that rest time into your workout time. So if you've only got an hour to work out, don't think you've got to work out continually for that, like you say, halve it and include that rest. That's really interesting. So what's the fourth tip?
I guess it's scheduling. So planning your whole week and your workout itself. So not only planning how many times a week you're going to work out, but what you're going to do within those sessions. Another really, really good rule to kind of go by is when you start something new, the week after is to not do any more than 10% than what you've done. And I always think of that as again, total time on your feet. So, you know, you have your whole working week, you've got your commute to work, you walk, maybe you cycle in. Count them as well. And then in your workout time, count how many minutes you're in the gym for, or how many minutes you're running for. Take that total time and add 10% on.
That's really good, because again, people often think about doubling, don't they, or something. I've run 10 minutes this week, I'll run 20 minutes next week, or 15 minutes even, which in your head you think, oh, doesn't seem so bad, but that's 50% more, isn't it? Really not good.
It's so easy to do, because you, when you start doing something, you get better really, really quick. So when you start running, you probably could run for 10 minutes the next day. But that's when people run into problems, is down the line, they're doing way much than their body is capable of doing. And you have this kind of inherent capacity, is how much your body can do before it gets tired. And that's when you start to get tired, you start problems. And you may not start to get tired for a few weeks, but if you build up slowly, you'll get to the same place, but you'll have less problems.
Oh, that's very good to know. And what's your fifth and final tip then?
So I think this is going to resonate with a lot of us, and I don't want it to be used as an excuse, but... accept bad days. And I think it's really important, especially for very ambitious people. It can feel almost disheartening, and a lot of the time people drop out of their routine because they feel like they're failing. Everyone, whether you're an elite athlete or you just started, will have a bad day. As women, we are also affected by our menstrual cycle. So during our menstrual cycle, during that time, we're going to feel more tired and our pain threshold will be lower. So all those things, we have to just accept our body is not always going to perform to our liking. Absolutely powering through some tiredness trains your willpower and it gets you into more of a routine. But you know when your body is not performing 100%, and it's absolutely okay. Give yourself a pat on the back for completing a session, even if it's not your personal best.
Oh, those are great tips, and really good to know that we shouldn't go mad at the beginning, and slow and steady wins the race. Thank you very much, Andy and Monica, for that. It's really interesting, and I'm sure that'd be really great tips for us going into the new year.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having
us, Alex. Cambridge 105 Radio.